And welcome back to Coast, where we have open lines for you for the rest of this hour. At the end of the show, we're going to have a little tribute to Frank Sinatra, who passed away today in 1998. He was 82 years old. Absolutely living legend, to be sure. Hey, I'm going to be in Denver over the weekend. We're going to be taping four more BeyondBelief.com television programs. Some great guests coming in from all over the planet to be on that program. So we'll be back in a moment to take your calls. Okay, welcome back to Coast. Welcome back to Open Lines. Let's just go right to the phones. Let's go to Kevin, truck driving in Ohio. Hi, Kevin.
Good morning, Mr. Norrie. How you doing?
I'm doing fine. Hope you are too. Driving around the country?
Yes, sir. Headed to Pennsylvania.
It's not a bad drive, is it?
No, not a bad drive at all. No. It's pretty nice.
We're keeping you going. We're keeping you awake while you keep this country moving. I like that.
Yes, sir, every morning.
Perfect.
I just would like to get your intake on what our president is doing, going to Hiroshima and this transgender stuff. I mean, this is really getting out of hand and crazy.
He's winding down.
Right. He's trying to push through everything he could push through before he has to leave office.
Yes, and nothing's happening. Nothing's working for him.
No, and it's really, my personal view is it's really upsetting a lot of Americans out here. A lot more people need to speak out about it because I personally don't think it's right that he's pushing everything on us like he is.
No, but, Congress is, they're not going to approve much, so, not much is going to happen.
Right. Well, I hope so, anyway.
sadly, we still have many months to go before this year is over. So, lame duck. Remember the old saying, a lame duck president.
Right. I was kind of tossed up between our presidential nominees. Hillary's definitely not. I can't do that at all. I kind of like what Trump is doing because actually, he's actually voiced everything that all Americans are upset about. And I kind of like what he's doing, and hopefully, he can get things straightened out, possibly with Congress, Senate, and all that.
All right, my friend. Like your feedback and input, but we'll watch. I mean, it's the excitement for this year is going to be the election. The elections are always exciting, regardless of who runs. But in terms of this current administration, it's a lame duck. It's Congress isn't going to approve much, and we shall see. Okay, let's go next to Todd in Boston. Welcome to the program. Hi, Todd.
Hey, George. How you doing tonight?
Good. Good to have you with us.
I have an awesome opportunity to make some money, and I wanted to let you know about it. About a year ago, I was in Vegas, and I actually made a few bucks. So on the way out, I always like to place a future bet, whether it's someone to win the World Series, just kind of a ticket I can hang on to for a while.
Sure, okay.
And they had the presidential odds, and I made a bet to my father-in-law. He wanted Rubio. He was 10-1, and Donald Trump was 22-1. And I put $300 on him.
Oh. So
I think I have, a 50-50 shot. $6,900 will be my payout if he can win it. What do you think?
I think you have a great shot. My God, keep that ticket.
I will.
What a great trip back to Vegas that'll be, huh?
I know. You can mail the ticket in, too, if you don't want to spend any more money there.
I wouldn't mail it in. I would go out there.
But I'm pretty excited about that. Yeah, you have time for a quick story?
Yeah, I sure do.
My father was walking down the street about a month ago, just taking a nice walk, and he got hit in the back by something, and he said, sent him down to his knees. These knuckleheads were driving down the road 40 miles an hour shooting slingshots at people.
Oh!
Ball bearings, and they got away, but the next day they did the same thing to someone else, and they were just picking on random people, shooting slingshots at them. I mean, don't you think people like that should be put down?
I really do. I mean, that's crazy. I mean, you hit somebody in an eye, in the eye with a slingshot ball bearing, they're going to go blind.
Oh, yeah. My father said it was about the size. You know those super balls that you get out of those gumball machines, the bouncy balls?
Yeah.
Yeah, just solid, like, copper, that size. I mean, hit you in the head, it could probably kill you.
It's like a bullet.
And I feel like people like that, they're going to spend their whole lives getting in trouble. It's not just, like, making a mistake. You know what I mean?
And what possesses people to do that? That's not funny. That's not fun.
I know. People are just idiots.
Crazy people, to be sure. Tom, you got another text for us. What do you got back there?
I do. I like that caller. It was classy. He said, put them down.
Like you would.
It was a good way to phrase it.
Speaking of putting down, I got to tell you one thing. You know, you've been to St. Louis a couple times.
I have.
My family friend, Nina, she's 80 years old. 15 years ago, her Brittany Spaniel died. This woman loves animals. She's got cats, dogs, you name it. And the older she got, the more her animals would die off. And it was sad for her for two reasons. One, because of the animal that died. And two, I think it was almost like a calling for her to realize she's getting close to her death eventually, too. And so she was distraught over the death of her Brittany Spaniel. I went out and bought her one, a little puppy, just like the one that died, but it was a little puppy. And she named it Georgie. Guess after who, right? And I gave her the puppy, and I made a mistake because you really shouldn't be giving somebody an animal so soon to when their other one died. I thought I was doing the right thing. She was still an emotional basket case. She didn't know what to do. She was very upset. And I bring her this little puppy, and you know, it was cool for her. I gave her some something. But that day, the day I gave her the puppy, she called me up and said, he's dying. And I said, who's dying? She said, the puppy, Georgie. I said, what do you mean he's dying? She said, he won't wake up. I went over there and looked at him, and he was asleep. He was like exhausted. He was a little puppy. You know, he's in a new house. He's exhausted. He's sleeping.
So he's okay.
And she knows dogs. She knows dogs better than most veterinarians. I shook him a little bit, and he wakes up, and I took him outside, and he played around, jumped. I said, Nina, he's fine. She says, he was in a coma. I said, no, he wasn't in a coma. And she said, well, I can't handle him. And I said, I understand. So I'm taking the dog back to the breeder. I called the breeder and said, can I have my money back? And she said, sure. So I'm halfway there. And this is like way out in no man's land in the St. Louis area, way out. Nina calls me on my cell phone at the time, flip phone. And she says, bring him back, please. I want him back. I want him back. Please. So I brought him back. Anyway, to make a long story short, she had to put Georgie down a couple days ago. 15 years old. He could barely breathe anymore. And, you know, the vet, much like some of the vets you know, very good, said, look, you could spend several thousand dollars here to prolong him for another week. It's not going to do any good. And you need to take him out of his misery. So they put him down. That's and she's sad. So distraught.
Oh.
I'm going to, you know, that's one of the things when we go out there in June for my event, I've got to spend some time with her. Very sad. But anyway.
You going to give her another doggy?
Nope. Nope. No, I'm not. I'm not.
Hey, did I tell you that I'm looking? They actually have dog insurance. I think I'm going to get Freddie some dog insurance.
That's pretty expensive.
You can get it for a couple hundred a month, but you know what?
What about Obamacare for dogs? How about that? Well, anyway, what's our text?
It's very apropos you told that story, and you'll know why after I read this to you. Caroline in Ormond Beach, Florida. It simply says, do you know anyone personally who has made it to 100? Isn't Nina like...
She's 80.
Oh. Sorry,
she's
Nina.
80. I remember Ari, my wonderful little 22-year-old granddaughter, who we raised because because her mother was working, single mom, and we raised Ari, and she's just a wonderful woman right now. She's going to be 22 the end of June. I'll be there for that birthday, by the way. But I remember one day Nina came in, and, you know, Nina's 80 years old. And this, she was 70 then, and Ari was 12 years old. And Ari pulled me aside and went, "Papa, Papa, she has a mask on." I said, "Ari, that's not a mask. That's Nina."
So do you know anybody?
I don't know anybody who's 100 years old, not personally.
I don't either. I'm so sorry, Nina. I thought she was a little older.
Okay, back to the calls. Steven in Singer, California. Hi, Steven. Welcome to the show. Hello.
Hi.
Hey,
long-time listener. This is the first time I've actually been able to call in quite a while.
Well, I'm glad you got through. What's on your mind, Steven?
I work security, and I've been noticing a lot of weird things with the with Walmarts actually lately, and a lot of them. There was actually five stores over, I think, five different states that closed down the exact same time for the exact same problem, which they said was like a little plumbing issue.
I heard about that.
Yeah, and I looked into it more, and they completely gutted out the stores, completely. There's nothing there. They ripped up the floors, the walls, and for some reason, they've increased security. There's even some that have military watching it. There was even some that had the Department of Homeland Security there. A lot of people think that they're turning these Walmarts into like FEMA, like concentration camps. And apparently they're shutting down a few hundred more Walmarts. And I just didn't know if you've heard about this or kind of get your thoughts on it.
I did hear about this. I don't know if that's real or not, but I'm hearing that. Now, you as a security guy, do you see anything really with what you're doing?
Actually, yes. I'm actually, right now, I'm at one of the Walmarts that I'm supposed to be guarding. And with the company I work for, a lot of the Walmarts are actually getting rid of our company, and they're wanting to bring in armed guards.
Armed guards. Now, that's interesting.
Yeah. And my company, we're not armed in any way, but we do patrol the parking lots and all that. And there's even some of them that were inside, but yeah, for some reason they're wanting to get rid of our company and go with armed guards. And there's been a lot of talk about like the different security systems, even like RFID tagging, which is like radio frequency identification.
Sure.
And just weird things like that. I've noticed a lot of the security surveillance-wise has been beefed up at a lot of them, and some of them even look like prisons. I mean, just razor wire.
That's strange. Okay, let's keep our eyes on this. And you keep reporting to us on things you see, okay?
Oh, I definitely will, sir.
All right, thanks, Stephen. Appreciate it. Yeah, I've heard these strange stories, but, you know, I just hear it, and it goes in one ear and out the other. But that is weird. Barry in Rock Hill, South Carolina, east of the Rockies. Hello, Barry.
Hello there, George. And once again, what a pleasure to talk to you and Tommy. And I can't believe my brother-in-law, Buddy, got on there the first night he called you.
Yeah, he did. He beat you to the punch.
Yeah, I couldn't believe it. He said, "Well, I can't get through." I said, "Try the number over and over, speed dial him, and I'll be darned if he didn't get on there a half an hour before me."
He beat you.
Yeah, listen.
Is he the one you're bringing to the event?
No, I'm going to bring my wife.
Okay.
Yeah, and I was just going to say, I talked to the Coco in the We'll call one the other day. She's got my tickets right there for me. And I can't wait. And I'm telling you and all the listeners, George, if you want to go to it, you need to get on the ball and go ahead and get some tickets, because they're going to be sold out long before the event.
Did she say they're getting calls?
Yes, absolutely.
Oh, great.
As a matter of fact, she said, I'll talk to Tom Danheiser. And I said, he's something. He's my best buddy now. I said, I'm going to move out to California and live with him.
Does he know that?
She said, what?
Does Tommy know this?
No, I hadn't told Tommy yet.
All right, I'll let you just spring it on him.
Don't tell him.
No, I won't. I won't tell him.
All right, listen, a couple of quick comments, and then I'm going to tell you a near-death story that just happened to me 6 weeks ago this coming Tuesday.
All right.
Anyway, the comments are, what a great show night before last. When you got Alex Jones and Whitley Strieber on the same show, you have hit a home run, buddy.
It was a great show.
I mean, they need 4 hours apiece. You don't give them 2 hours. You're changing them. And listen, I understand you're going to sing at the show in Asheville.
Yes, I got 4 songs picked out.
Well, now be sure to do one by ZZ Top.
Well, I'm not going to do that. I'm not one of those guys. Billy Gibbons, those guys are too good. I'm not that good.
Next time you have one of those rock and roll shows, though, like you had once before, featuring a band, you need to get Billy Gibbons on there and Dusty Hill and Frank Beard and have the show about ZZ Top, my all-time favorite rock and roll
band. I love those guys.
Oh, there's something else. All right, a quick question. By any chance, do you know what has happened to Mubarak and Zahi Awas over in Egypt?
Yes, I just heard on Zahi was at a conference with regards to what might be going on at the pyramids. So he's still around. I thought he was going to be in jail, but he's not.
Me too. I thought they probably exiled.
Mubarak is in bad health, and I think he's still in jail.
Well, that doesn't surprise me either. But I just hadn't heard anything, especially about a wasp. And I thought, well, they've exiled him, you know, somebody from Al-Qaeda or whoever's taken over, have gotten rid of him or whatever. But thanks. I appreciate you doing that. Now, listen, here's my story. George, I just let myself go downhill health-wise. My eyes are going bad, so I don't drive by myself hardly ever. And I just stay home and just lay around, and I just atrophied, and I wasn't eating correctly, and I wasn't hydrating correctly, and I just got in bad shape and got into electrolyte imbalance, and shoot, I went to bed April the 4th and on a Monday, and I woke up Wednesday afternoon with my wife telling me that I was in the hospital in the emergency room.
Oh, my God.
It looked like I was going to be okay. My electrolytes were way down. They pumped me full of fluids and stuff and brought me back to health.
Are you a diabetic?
No, not diabetic at all, and I didn't have a stroke. But I died, George, for about 45 seconds. I asked the doctor later. Martha, my wonderful wife, said that they called out code blue, you know, full code blue. And she said that several doctors rushed into the room with me, and they came out about 2 minutes later smiling and laughing and said, well, he's going to be fine. And, you know, but he had a near-death experience. But here's what happened, though, George. During the thing, I was out cold, and all of a sudden I started waking up sort of, and going into that REM sleep,
mm-hmm.
rapid eye movement, and dreaming. And in the dream, George, I was dead. I was floating in total grayness. I could see myself, my body, my feet, my legs, my torso. But, George, I looked around in every direction, and there was no earth, no planets, no sun, no stars, no solar system, no nothing.
You were in hell, Barry.
Well, I don't know for sure, but the thing is, I wasn't scared one bit, but I was real curious. You know, I'm a scientist, and I was just so curious as what was going on. And then I did, well, and here's the thing. I was being pulled magnetically or gravity or something was pulling me in a certain direction. And I remember thinking, well, I must be going to wherever I'm going.
Well, you were going. But what are you doing in hell, for crying out loud? You're a good guy. Well, it's time for our shout-out to those of you listening to Coast on our 615 radio stations across North America. Hello there, Coast Insiders. And by the way, you can sign up for a month for 99 cents there. And then SiriusXM Talk Channel 146. How about the various chat rooms out there? Into Infinity, Fantastic Form 2, Imaginative World, Sorcery IRC, those who follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, ParanormalDate.com groups, the Northern Kentucky Paranormal Group, SoCal UFO Meetup Group, the Hollywood Ghost Hunters, and our buddy Greg the Cook in St. Louis. Thanks for supporting Coast to Coast AM. And make sure you're listening to Coast this weekend. Saturday night, Connie Willis will host, and then George Knapp, my dear colleague, on Sunday as well. And then I'll be back on Monday. And don't forget, end of the program tonight, a little tribute to Frank Sinatra, who passed away on May 14th, this day, 1998. Let's go to the phones again. Let's go to Mike in Ohio. Welcome to the program. Mike, thanks for holding so long.
Hi, George. I want to thank you for your military service.
Well, thank you. That's okay.
It was
my pleasure and my honor to do that.
Yeah, this is the greatest country in the world.
Indeed, it is.
I want to tell you about my wife and I were both born on Christmas Day. And she just passed away April 1st, April Fool's Day. She had to get the last joke in.
Oh, my gosh.
And my father just passed away the last Monday, and he was buried on Friday the 13th.
Wow. Wow. And
I got a daughter that was born on February 21st, and her grandfather on her mother's side died on her 7th birthday, February 21st.
Jeez, that's close. And my dad was born on February 22nd. President's Day, I believe.
Mm-hmm, right.
Synchronicity of numbers, huh? But you've been through a lot the last couple of years, Mike.
My wife was in the hospital for a long time, and then she went into a nursing home, and she was there for a year and a half. She couldn't walk. She couldn't talk. She couldn't use her hands. She had a trach, and she was kept alive with a feeding tube.
Oh, geez.
And I'd go over there 12 to 15 hours a day every day, if you make a 25-mile drive over and back every day.
Sometimes they are in a better place.
Oh, yeah.
After
You know, the last couple months that she was in there, her eyes would go back and forth across the ceiling, you know, and I'd say, what are you doing, looking at the angels? And she'd just smile and shake her head yes. And a couple of days before she passed away, you know, she was doing that. I reached up with my hand in motion. I said, why don't two angels come on down here with us? And she just laughed so hard, you know, but she couldn't make a sound, but her mouth was wide open, and they would hurt her all the way up and down the halls if they could have.
All right, you stay tough, Mike. Thank you for calling.
Thanks.
Okay, let's go to Michael in Virginia Beach, Virginia. Michael, welcome to the show.
George, I got the surprise of my life tonight.
What happened?
I found out that George Norrie is actually on the cutting edge of a trend among college intellectuals in England and America.
I am?
Yeah, I didn't know this. Here's the deal. This is a philosophy professor who was born in India, raised as a Hindu Brahmin. His father was very high official in the government there. He became a Christian and a Billy Graham associate evangelist. And just tonight, I heard him say that the reincarnationists, the really smart ones, he mentioned some guy, what was it, Krishna or something, that came here in 1900. Anyway, he says they are beating the Christians, they're beating his own fellow evangelicals, because they're being much more intelligent. They are tying what they say to what is happening, like evolution and what's happening in the academic thought area. And I tell you, we have got to get some of these real, authentic Hindus on your show so we can hear what they say about demons.
Can he speak English?
Well, his name is he's a Billy Graham associate. He's in Oxford.
He should be able to then. Yeah, if he's from Oxford.
Well, listen. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
His name is Robbie Zacharias.
Michael, do me a favor. Email that to me, if you would, at thegeorge@coasttocoastam.com. All the information, that because I'm not going to write it down right now, if you would. Time for one more quick call. If I have to interrupt you, I don't want to be rude, but we have to do our Sinatra close. Jerry, truck driving in Texas. Hey, Jerry, go ahead. Jerry? Well, Jerry has hung up on me, so he is gone. How about Cliff in Manitoba, first-time caller? Cliff.
Oh, George.
Only got about a minute for you, but that's okay. Go ahead.
Yeah, well, this is too much. I've got too much, but my guardian angel has been living with me since May 22nd, 2013.
How do you know that?
She's done so much for me. The three churches right at the end of our block here. I don't know if that has anything to do with it, but she's been leaving me physical evidence. She's given me her number signs. The first year that after this happened, she's pushed things over in the house everywhere. So many things. I asked her not to push over anything expensive because she did that, and then she stopped doing that. And then she's been graduated to bigger and better things. She let me see her physically, and I've
Well, and has she saved you from any problems or trouble?
She's saved my life.
Well, that's the way to do it. But you document that stuff for us. That's a great story. And when we get into miracles and things like that, I want you to call back with a further report on that story. Folks, on May 14th, 1998, a living legend died at the age of 82, Frank Sinatra. He's an American singer, actor, producer. He was one of the most popular and influential musical artists of the 20th century, and I think he's even more popular now. He's one of the best-selling music artists of all time. He sold more than 150 million records worldwide. He was born in Hoboken, New Jersey, to Italian immigrants. He died in Los Angeles. There's no better way to tribute this man's life than to do it my way. We have lost a great singer.
Well, I never knew I had Martians in my garden, and I never knew there were aliens on my roof. I got shadow people, and they're living in my basement. Got a funny feeling Bigfoot's gonna be here soon. I was so blind before, I was so unaware, but now I swear I'm seeing Sasquatch over there. And I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. Now I can see the light, and I also see a ghost, 'cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. Well, you never knew that your baby was a hybrid, but as he grew, you began to see the clues. Now you know the signs, 'cause you learned it from George Norrie. Even while you sleep, you got Martians watching you. I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. And I can see the light, and I also see a ghost, 'cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. Good morning or good evening, wherever you may be, whichever world you're living in, whatever century. Voice is always welcome here on my radio. Call in with your space transmitter or your telephone. And I turned on my radio in the middle of the night, and I heard things I need to know. Now I can see the light, and I also see a ghost, 'cause I'm listening to Coast to Coast. Coast to... Coast.
For Dan Galante, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean LaDesure, Stephanie Smith, Chris Borelson, George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.